Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, he is.
Indeed.
I'm Mo.
Who?
Crown Prince of Charisma.
Oh, that again.
All right, let's get to it. Fuck, what do you want to talk about here? What are we like?
What are we like? Well, we are like Kobe Bryant in a hotel room in Colorado because we are unstoppable.
That's right.
We're back with another show.
We're back with another show. This will be a good one. Yes. Unlike Raw.
And you have been mic'd up.
I have been mic'd up. Let me talk to you about that. But first off, let's just go through Raw. We're going to start on Raw, then we're going to hit Impact. Because it's minutes after Impact aired. And that we can go out with something I enjoyed.
What?
We can go out with something I enjoyed.
We can go out with your mom? Oh, something you
enjoyed? I enjoyed.
Oh, I see.
I never enjoyed her.
No, that's true. That's true. Too much. No.
All right. Go ahead. Talk Raw.
Okay. Raw 1001. I guess the opening we had was CM Punk upset with Jerry the King Lawler about Jerry Lawler saying at the end to end Raw 1000 that Punk has turned his back on the WWE universe. And Punk has said that that's bullshit.
Punk was his delivery was very good, as to be expected. Really, really good. I mean, Punk is really good. He's above the material, is the thing. The material, what he's working with here, the storyline, his character has been good. His character has been consistent. The storyline and the booking around it has been shit.
Oh, it sucks anal.
Yeah, it does suck anal. But he himself, I mean, once again, he comes in, he's very charismatic. He's got that heel Punk persona, even though he wasn't full heel at the beginning here. He was good. I'll say that about him. He was good. I can't say that about anything else.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that like, he was good, but yeah, the material was horrible. And I mean, you could tell that given his, given if it was up to him, I guess, for lack of a better word, he really would be he would really have gone off on Lawler.
Yeah.
And he would have
referenced 14-year-old girls and rape.
Yeah, you could tell that like, he's as sick of Jerry Lawler's commentary as I probably am.
Well, he was a better commentator in his short stint than Lawler.
Well, he was, but I mean, and Jerry Lawler again, it was during the Big Show Cena match where Lawler made some stupid joke and Punk pointed that out, and it's like that just is right there in a nutshell why Lawler sucks.
Yeah, exactly, because he's still to cracking the stupid jokes instead of getting over the angles or the match when it's important.
Yeah, now that said, what hurt Punk later on was the fact that him and Lawler were just bickering during that Cena show match while the sleeper hold was being applied by Cena to show. And I'm going like, come on now, guys. Like, especially if you're Punk and you're complaining about the commentary, you're just adding to the problem.
Yeah, but I didn't mind that because the logic behind that is I've never been the focus in the show. I mean, we kept on talking about how he wasn't main event in the pay-per-views, and we noticed a few other people did. But the truth is that was actually became – I get the feeling he might have main evented this last pay-per-view, but the truth is that became part of the storyline. So even when he's on commentary, the point is he's trying to make the focus about him instead of somebody else. So I thought that's how I took that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I kind of took it to be – like I said, it was just a little too much. I mean, it was that they were – full on yelling at each other as opposed to just bickering back and forth, getting like, and so that was too much for me. But, that said, as you said, Punk had the material, and then Big Show comes out, and it's like, okay, and then I stopped really caring.
Yeah, no, Big Show, what was it? Big Show, Cena comes out. I feel like I've seen this a million and one times. And then fucking AJ Lee steps out.
Before AJ Lee steps out, okay, the Big Show comes out, and Punk and Big Show has, and Punk again very good in his role in terms of pointing. Looks like I'm the only guy that's winning around here. And then to top it all off, then John Cena runs down, flailing his arms like a fucking.
I've never seen Mick Foley flail his arms like that.
He was wearing green, and I was waiting for him to tell me that today's very special guest, CM Punk.
It's not easy being green.
Or why are there so many songs about rainbows? Yes. But anyway, fucking
seriously,
that was awful.
He was awful. You're right. He's awful. He's cartoon John Cena. Big Show is awful.
Not even cartoon John Cena. I watched NXT this afternoon or this when I got home, and there were crisper workers on. Like Big E Langston was better than this running. You know, and it just—it's embarrassing. Like you talk about John Cena and why people hate him because he's the good two-shoe kid and blah blah blah. Like that's embarrassing. Like that is like these are the guys that. The Davey Richards didn't want to fight. Those are better than John Cena was in this run-in. Like it literally is probably the worst thing I have seen on Raw. Like they made Kelly look like Luthes.
Okay, but here's the thing: we know John Cena is clumsy, and that's part of the whole thing. He's a bodybuilder. He's strong. He's not athletic. He's clumsy.
He isn't even. He's done run-ins before, and they have like this was a new level of shit.
Okay, we're focusing too much on the run-in. Let's get on to the actual. AJ Lee comes out.
To her new music. Yeah. Look in my eyes. What can you see? Cunt. Personality.
She is. Yeah.
Yes.
Dressed like Miss Hancock.
No, I had actually thought that they accidentally washed Stephanie McMahon and she shrunk.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know what else to say about this. She's a baby face. What? I don't know why they believe that the fans want to cheer her. Like, I don't know what the evidence is of that. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, I'll see what the... And again, this is the... everybody's talking about, you know, we're talking about the Raw ratings that were rising, you know, in July and late June and early July leading up to Raw 1000. The ratings were on the rise. And you hear about how the overrun or the match with Cena and Show... this week did the highest rating, did a big number there. What it really when you boil down to it is what that tells me is that school is still out for the summer. And so the 8-year-olds that normally have to go to bed at 8 o'clock are allowed to stay up now because they don't have school so they can watch their little pimply face hero John Cena do shitty run-ins.
Here's the thing about this, though, is you say that, but, I mean, the ratings were back down this week, right?
But, again, the John Cena segment was one that was the higher one.
John Cena moves ratings. He's a legitimate star. He's a legitimate Hall of Famer. He's a legitimate draw. He's legitimately all these things, despite sucking balls much of the time.
He is a legitimate Hall of Famer. The problem, though, with putting him into the Hall of Fame is that at least for now, I mean, this might change, but you've got President Obama, because it'll be in the U.S., obviously, the Hall of Fame where John Cena goes in. But President Obama, I mean, he's big on education, and so it's going to be impossible to let all those kindergarten classes out for them to go see John Cena go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, okay, his fans are little kids. We know that. Yeah, we know that. He references it all the time, how most of the audience is little kids, when most of the audience isn't. his fans are little kids, but the audience mostly isn't. But it's the same thing like Vince McMahon talked about this week in an interview, or it might even have been in the financials here. Recently he talked about how they're a PG show, and they have latitude within the PG product, and instead of gearing towards the more mature side of PG, they'd be gearing towards the G side. And that's being good for John Cena.
Well, and that's, and I appreciate that because, I mean, you can at least admit that. Now, personally, I like things that are on the more mature side. Although, I do like to find your mom's G-side.
G-spot.
Oh, not my liver spot.
Why is she not enjoying it as much as she wants? She doesn't need her entire G-side. That's too much effort. Stick to the G-spot.
That's true. It is, but it's basically your whole side.
Okay. All right, so then Daniel Bryan was nervous about talking to the new boss. Brodus is dancing. Vicky Guerrero dances with him. Horrible WWE comedy. Damian Sandow attacks and goes after the knee, much like Otunga did. That, of course, never became a feud or had anything become of it. What's going to happen with Damian Sandow, who's doesn't lose a lot over on SmackDown, but isn't that big a star? I mean, and Brodus Clay, who doesn't lose a lot, and
isn't a big star.
Firmly entrenched now in the mid card where he should be.
Yes. Now, Damian Sandow did again mention that he is a martyr. So that is.
What do you think of that feud?
Continuing. You know that to me that's fine. I mean that's. Again, the reason I think Otunga kind of got pushed out with when Laurinaitis was out of power, because he was Laurinaitis' right-hand man, and then they just haven't found a spot to bring him back. And again,
couldn't the spot have been really him just feuding with Brodus? Instead of being squashed by him after attacking him?
I mean, the reality is, though,
yeah, good
cares?
Point.
I mean, we're not talking about, you know, the top of the card here, or, you know, or them. This isn't who drove the Hummer. This is David Otunga is gone for a while. Who gives a fuck? And now you're looking at Damian Sandow, who has a he has something and a feud with Brodus Clay.
Brodus, who I don't see doing the clean job to Sandow. And Sandow, who should not do the job to Brodus because he has more upside. So, we'll see.
Heel gets the heat. Babyface makes his comeback at the end, and they all move on. I don't think that.
I want to see this not be just like an attack and then 1 or 2 weeks worth of matches, and it's over. I want to see this be an actual feud that develops and has a storyline to it. I want to see a little thought process put into this fucking thing.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley lost a hog pen match. You know, life goes on, right? So I don't see this being the end of the world if that happens. I mean, hell, Sandow could go over. That's how I do it. That's how you do it. But
it's a different day and age than when that happened, though.
Not really.
All right. So Daniel Bryan finally talks to what's her name?
Dante.
Finally talks to her.
TC.
Cunt Lee. I told you. That's.
I was going to call her TC Lee instead of AJ Lee. TC Lee.
I like it. By the way, we're getting requests for those fuck shirts that you wanted to do.
Yes. I hear that. I know nothing about making shirts.
How hard can it be? We can buy a bunch of white shirts. I buy a Sharpie.
There you go.
How hard is this? You want that shirt?
I know.
Send me an email. $50.
You need to go then buy a Sharpie.
Good point.
That's the problem. So what was the next segment? You said that Brian goes in and talks to AJ.
Yeah, AJ said that the reason those guys with the white shirts were there was because he planned to have her have the power once he had her. Once he married her, he would finally have the power to have her committed. And so they kind of did reference something that happened in the back which is rare. And, I mean, who knows? I'm not sure if it was a segment that was dropped or not, but it is possible he was marrying her to have her committed, and that's why the guys in the white coats were there. Anyways, that's what she said and thought. So that's a reason for her to hate him again. So, I mean, I don't know. It's no big deal, but whatever. What's that?
Retarded.
Why is it retarded?
I mean, the whole Daniel Bryan thing is just, again, it's now they've got him.
He actually has a shirt now that says no, no, no.
Yeah,
because they're doing everything they can to keep people from chanting yes, yes, yes. It's getting worse and worse.
Well, no, it's not that. Is it?
What is that too?
They want people to chant. They want people to chant yes, yes, yes as a negative to Bryan. Like, they want him to go yes, 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 and he's going to say no, 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 and then they'll chant yes, yes, yes very
badly. Will they chant winning?
It's fucking...
Will they chant winning?
No. No, they won't. Mm-hmm. But, it... I mean, now it just appears to be, like I said, AJ is got... And this is when you talked about how you would keep Punk and Bryan apart. You know, this... Now the when Punk finally goes heel, the way that and this is just another slow turn, like the first time he turned, like I likened it to 97 Bret Hart '98, is that, you know, he's not turning his back on his fans. He's just turning his back on the people that, you know, that don't get it, or the Jerry Lawlers and the John Cena fans of the world, right? But I think that that may bring Bryan and Punk together. The is AJ, their disdain
for AJ. Yeah, we'll get more
AJ.
Into that a little bit later on here, but basically AJ says through Twitter they're going to let the fans decide on Raw Active if it's going to be a no-holds match against Sheamus, which turned out to be a good match.
Right.
Would be a no-holds match, a great falls match. Count, anywhere match, or a street fight match, because those are so vastly fucking different.
Yeah, but okay, but that's fine. To your average fan, Joe... Sif bag of donuts there. I mean, that's fine, and they're not going to look as deep into it as, you know, as I did or you did, and just see that, oh, I get to, which one do I want to see? And they do it. And the fact is that 73% of the people picked
Street Fight, which is what they would pick, because it's the most pushed of all those.
Well, and it sounds the most brutal and that. So, I mean, they didn't really, you know, so in that case, it did work, and that people didn't look at it as all the same. So, and we got a great match.
It was a very good match. It went about 15, 20 minutes, something like that. 15?
15, yeah.
Yeah, good match, of course. Sheamus won with the bro kick, as he should probably. Nice match. Nice match. So, basically, what's that?
See, I was expecting this, because it was a street fight, no disqualification, I was expecting Dolph to come out and take the brogue kick for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, no kidding. It's been a while since he hasn't taken more than 2,000 or 3,000 this week. Yeah.
I know. He's due.
He is due. And he'll get them. So Daniel Bryan then is complaining in the ring, and Kofi Kingston comes out, and R-Truth is there, and Daniel Bryan pretends to kick little Jimmy and yells at R-Truth, and AJ comes out and says he's unstable tonight and has Bryan committed, because your boss can do that.
Yes, that's right. So, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, it's wrestling. That I can...
I fucking hate
a wrestling
her,
boss... I know. But a wrestling boss, I don't have a problem with a wrestling boss doing that.
I do. This is her third fucking segment on the show.
Well, yeah, but it didn't matter what her segment was going to be, whether she had someone committed or not. It was her third segment, and it was going to suck. So, I mean, now we've got Bryan going into the back to meet with the doctor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So Mr. McMahon's going to name a new
SmackDown GM.
I can dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Kofi Kingston, Titus O'Neil, AEW has a live mic. What happens here?
Well, I mean, he said that just like Kobe in a hotel room in Colorado, Titus is unstoppable.
Yeah. And almost immediately WWE apologized, which is...
They go to the match, they do a segment, and then they come back to... I think they did the...
I seem to remember them apologizing while that match was still going on.
Oh, they could have. Titus won the match, then they go back.
Either way, it was almost right away. But yeah, I mean, people backstage were flipping out. They apologized right away. Flipping out, I said.
Well, I thought you said flipping.
Well, they're doing that, too. Pat Patterson, flipping out. Flipping out. They go banana.
He was going
Anyways, the point is here is that this became somewhat of a big deal. You mentioned it was on some mainstream.
Around the Horn on ESPN.
I don't find this offensive. I think that nobody even would have picked this up if they hadn't mentioned and apologized, because that called attention to it. It's a heel guy saying a heel thing and a line that I would have heard from a comedian a million times. It's no big deal.
I thought that AW was they were apologizing for AW because AW was supposed to say that during Heath Slater's match.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
I thought that that's what they're like, sorry, we screwed up. That was going to come later.
Yeah, especially since that match was with another man who has a great reputation with women. But, is this a big deal at all?
No, because Kobe Bryant raped that woman in what, like 2004?
Yeah, okay, he did, and he was let off, but who gives a fuck? It's a joke. You can't have a joke at a celebrity's expense? Fuck him. Fuck him. In the immortal words of Bette Midler, fuck him.
He tried.
In the immortal words of Bette Midler, fuck him if they can't take a joke.
Yes, really. We've sunk to quoting
Bette Midler. Hey, that's a good one. Now.
This is the worst show we've ever done.
The important thing is the Kofi one.
Start singing.
What's that?
You start singing anything from Beaches and I'll kick your ass.
I will not sing anything from Beaches. I might sing The Rose, though.
Titus
one. No, Kofi won.
Kofi got distracted.
Okay. Yeah, okay. You're right. Yeah, Titus won. O'Neil wins. So whatever, he wins. And what do we have? Heath Slater then came out. Challenged once in his career back going again. Challenges. What's that?
We didn't have that, though, is the thing. We had then, they went backstage to CM Punk talking to John Cena. And saying, you know, you don't have to say anything or whatever. He said, I know you respect, you know, I respect you. I like you, John. And I know you like me. And it's just business. And I don't really care which one of you wins tonight, to be quite honest with you. And because it's just business or whatever. And then he walks away.
Yeah.
And then they come back. And that's where Colin Waller, they go to Colin Waller. And they apologize.
And who cares about that? He later calls out. A current WWE superstar and the Punker Viper comes out.
You're aware that you just, who cares about that, then Heath Slater comes out.
Yeah, well, I don't care about that as a thing. I actually care more about Heath Slater coming out. Anyways, Randy Orton comes out, wins.
RKO, and it's done. Yeah. The only crowd note is
loved Randy Orton after 2 months being away.
Well, people are starting to chant, though, the one man band.
That's true.
When he's saying it. So, I mean, he's with enough TV exposure with that catchphrase, you know, what has he got? He's probably been on for like the last eight
weeks. He's been on a lot more than, say, a Santino Marella or something like that.
Yeah exactly. Or anybody good. So I mean, that's starting to get over. That's just kind of proof in terms of the lemmings there. Right?
So, my highlight of the night then came next. So that was a. Vitamin C, Chris Jericho and Christian versus The Miz and Ziggler had a really nice match. Another good, fairly long match.
They did. It was that was another. Again, that is the benefit of the 3 hours in that, you know, they probably got an extra, you know, 5 minutes to tell their story in the match.
Jericho
right?
pinned The Miz. Yeah.
Right. And then Ziggler hit him over the back with the head.
Now,
it appears
that immediately after us, I mean, obviously it looks like Jericho and Ziggler at SummerSlam. And immediately afterwards, that Jericho is leaving to go tour again for 3 to 4 right. months minimum with Fozzy. I'm guessing he'll be gone after SummerSlam. He puts over Ziggler, and then is gone until the Royal Rumble. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that sounds about right, and that's fine.
Yeah, it is fine. At this point, you know what? He's just that's his job, right?
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Yes. But, and that's where listening to an interview that Mick Foley did, you know, he basically talks about how, you know, he would have liked to have worked with Ziggler, but he sees now that, you know, like with now that Jericho's doing it, is that Jericho's in that same mode that Foley's in, where Jericho enjoys making guys.
I mean, Jericho has nothing. Jericho's not going to go up or down at this point. He is what he is. He's had a great career, and, you know, put guys over.
Well, he got that last title run.
He solidified himself as an all-time great with that.
And that's so
should he be satisfied with what he's done since he came back this latest time? Probably not. But you know what? He still had some good in-ring work, and he's put over a lot of guys.
Not really, but he's going to put over
He still
Ziggler.
Had some good in-ring work, and he's put over Punk.
Nothing he has done in the ring outside of the one match with Sheamus really set my world on fire.
He's had some good. I didn't say great. He's had some good in-ring work. He's consistently consistently goes out there and gives me
You said ring
work? Whatever. He consistently goes out there and has a 3-star match. He consistently goes out and has a 3-star match. Jericho.
Who does?
Consistently goes out. He never has a 4-star match. He never has a 2-star match. He consistently gives me a 3-star match, which is a lot more than a lot of the other guys there.
Does he ever give you a 1-star match? An 8-star match?
Well, one of those.
He make
one
a
of
move?
Those. But that's the thing, though. He consistently gives me a good match. He has good in-ring work. He puts guys over. That's his job now, and it doesn't matter. Like, say, all-time great.
Well, yeah, but the thing is driven, what you're not telling me is...
He doesn't feel driven.
But what...
And why would he be? He has, his focus apparently is on Fozzy, and that's fine.
You've told me what he doesn't do. What does
what
he do?
What does he do? I told you what he does. He goes out and asks, fuck you. So anyways, backstage, we got some great comedy. Brian does a Rorschach test and sees a goat face. And Sheen put him up to that.
I guess so. And then Kane come out. The lights turned red. Kane comes. I mean, this is a different segment, but I'm just going to finish, be done with these fucking Daniel Bryan things. The bottom line is that Kane, the lights go red. Kane comes in. He says, I'm your anger management coach. And essentially it looks like Bryan and Kane with Charlie Sheen in Kane's corner.
Anger Management, now I haven't seen it, of course. I think it's on FX.
On FX.
Yeah. Has been picked up now for 90 episodes.
Which he wants to make in, like, the next, like, 2 months. He wants to make them all.
Yeah, he wants to get out of the way. We can go and fuck hookers and do coke. So he fits in the wrestling world.
I want to do that. I want to do that with this show.
All right, Tyson Kidd versus Tensai. So they fixed that that blot on Tensai's record where Tyson Kidd beat him by having him destroy him. Tensai wins. Tensai wins. And then after the bell, he beats the shit out of him continually until it's overturned with a DQ. And then Tensai also beats up his second again.
Yeah, Sakamoto. But if Sakamoto would have seen it coming if he just opened his eyes...
So then,
Don't drive with Sakamoto. No.
Video pack.
Did you see that tout?
It was a tout. Albert of course, I didn't see it. I don't fucking watch those.
Albert,
the only tout I'll watch Albert is ours, and I noticed they haven't played that on the air yet.
No, I know. What the fuck? Albert got a lot of shit because he touted. That he was driving with Sakamoto, and he said, it's very dangerous driving with a Japanese man. And then he smacked him and said, open your eyes.
Yeah. Wow. But he's also Japanese, so he's allowed to say that.
That's very true. That's true.
So anyways, they had a video package for Lesnar and Triple H. They didn't have him on the show. Doesn't matter next week. Shawn Michaels.
Which one was this? Was this the video package they showed where Stephanie beat up Paul Heyman? Or was this the video package they showed where Stephanie beat up Paul Heyman? Or was this the third video package they showed where Paul Heyman got beat up by Stephanie
McMahon? I think
this
is the one where Stephanie got beat up by Paul Heyman. I think it was number two of those.
Oh.
Anyway, Stephanie beat up Paul Heyman. And anyways, the point is, neither one of them is on, but it doesn't matter because it's all about next week's go-home show, which is going to have Shawn Michaels, though he may not be on camera.
No, he's not going to be there at all right now.
He may not be on camera. Right now, he's not scheduled to be on camera. Right now, he's scheduled to be there for Shawn Michaels' Appreciation Night.
No, he's not. He's not scheduled to be there for Shawn Michaels' Appreciation Night.
It's in San Antonio.
I know, but he's not scheduled
to
be
here. No, he's not scheduled. Everything he's scheduled to do is scheduled to be off camera. That's what he's scheduled to do, is off camera work only. But it's...
Well, then
no, what I'm saying is, let me fucking finish before you fucking interrupt me again. It's like the show.
Oh, hey, Mo, just tell me what you need to tell me. Would you stop beating around the bush here? Would you just get it out? Spit it out now. Mo, are you there? Are you there, Mo? What's Shawn Michaels doing?
It's like when they had the Bret Hart.
Is it Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night?
You're so lucky this show's being done on Skype and I can't go over there and kill you. You are so fucking lucky. Let me pick up my camera again. I knocked it over. Oh, fuck, there it goes again.
I know, and you just did it
again. That's all right.
Wow, you need to clean behind your monitor. You said you need to clean behind your monitor. Oh,
I know. I know.
I know.
Your mom will do that for me.
Mo threw his camera across the room, apparently. So, okay, talk about Shawn Michaels' Appreciation Night.
What I'm trying to say is they had a Bret Hart Appreciation Night. They held it in New York. It was off camera. It wasn't even a Raw. The point is that it was off camera. They had this thing where they really put him over. This is what the plan is for Shawn. Really put him over. It is off stage or off camera. And I think the possibility does still exist that he will be on camera and Lesnar will destroy him or have some sort of run-in, whatever it is, simply because at the end of the day, when you're all there in the same building and that's the way to make money, I'm thinking somebody's going to bring it up. I'm thinking that's what they're going to go with. I don't know. I mean, who knows if that's what they're actually going to do. But I think there's a possibility that people will say, what the hell? Everybody's here. This is the angle we should shoot. So that's what I'm just saying. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying the possibility still exists, though, that could happen.
It could happen, but that would also, again, they're not lighting my world on fire.
Oh, no, they suck.
In terms of, yeah. So, I mean.
Here's the thing. It's the only two matches on SummerSlam. I want to see a face Chris Jericho against Ziggler, put him over because it's the right thing to do, and I think it'll be a really good match. And I want to see Lesnar and Triple H because I think it'll be a good match. And Lesnar's a compelling figure, and it should be an interesting dynamic. And Heyman should be there. That's it. I do not give a fuck about the three-way. I do not give a fuck about Sheamus and Del Rio. I don't give. I don't even know what the hell else there is, and I don't. But I don't give a fuck about it. I will predict ahead of time.
I don't think there
might not. You cannot possibly fathom how little of a fuck I will give.
Yeah, well, my mom's been telling me, so I could. But I think that
your mom needs to just shut her mouth and take her money.
Yeah, I know. She bought me a shirt. But I think that possibly that might be the pre-show or the free show is Cesaro and Santino. Might be in that YouTube show, I guess. I mean, outside of that, I don't know if you do. Maybe, I mean, you'll get your Ryback. You'll maybe get Brodus and Sandow.
It's SummerSlam.
I mean,
it's not a B show. You can't just throw the shit out there.
Yeah, but they will. Daniel Bryan and Kane, which
and I don't
Shane,
give a fuck.
Right? And, no, me either. But I'm just trying to think of.
I say, I want to see that one match. I want to see those two matches. I want to see the Lesnar match, Heyman match. The Lesnar Triple H match the most. That said, I don't want to see it enough to pay for this. I don't want to sit around for 2 hours that I don't give a shit about so I can watch 1 hour I do. $55.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, exactly, right? So Miz probably have an Intercontinental title. I don't know against who, but, you know. But, I honestly don't know. I don't care. And to be honest, whereas my interest in Cena and Lesnar was in April was building every week, my interest in Lesnar and Triple H is declining.
Yeah, it is. But they still have the go home angle to show shoot. But they had this one. I mean, they really came out with a lot of momentum with Lesnar attacking him and the whole just the dynamic of Lesnar being there. Him being on week after week after week, whereas this one it's like he's not on that much. They've been building it for a long, long time. It has been focused and not focused, focused and not focused. There's been a lot of reasons why this isn't working as well. That said, I hope that they're going to create something next week where I really want to see that match.
When the fuck was it focused?
Well, I mean, it was the focus of the show. Like they paid attention to it some. I knocked over my fucking camera again.
I know you did. Now I don't know what the fuck I'm even looking at there. But the thing is,
Mom.
That explains all the hair. But I think that with Cena with Lesnar and Triple H, like the fact is that Triple H refuses to sell or look weak, and you know, even his arm is broken and he's with Floyd Mayweather holding it up and then he's got some mechanical bullshit and he's fine and his ass has been kicked worse before and it'll be whatever. You know, that's the takeaway there.
And more importantly, I don't know if you know this. Well, I don't know if anybody knows this because it happened, but they forgot to mention it. But Stephanie beat up Heyman.
Oh, well, could they at least? That's the thing. Is like that did happen briefly, but like it's important to the storyline. So could you at least show it?
They have one show, at least, right? Is it one more show? And then it's next week the go home show.
So. No, they have two more shows. Because next
so
week.
So then, even if they make me excited next week, they'll probably fuck it up the week after.
Yeah. So not next week, but the week after is Hardcore Justice, and then it's SummerSlam the week after that.
So next week, Hardcore Justice. So yeah, I mean, just WWE, 3 hours is too long. You had said that you were giving until basically this show to say whether or not you're going to keep watching. So are you going to keep watching?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give up completely. Like, they didn't piss me off to the point that they were leading into Money in the Bank. Because the show does not revolve around AJ. I mean, she was on there four times.
I saw it. But I thought at the end it was five segments.
But at the same time,
and she was huge. And this is part of what bugs me. At the very end of the show, when the focus should be on the world title and everything, the focus was on her being a bitch to Punk and Punk's reaction to her. And Punk's out-of-character reaction to her compared to what he was doing earlier. So she's again the focus right at the end of the show.
Well, because she made the match and she's what I didn't like
the match that I don't give a fuck about.
I'm the champion, and she just looked and said, "I'm your boss," and it's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But it wasn't again. I'll PVR the show. It'll probably take me an hour to watch the 3 hours. Right. I mean, I enjoyed the Punk or the Brian. I enjoyed the Brian Sheamus. I enjoyed the tag match on there. So there was enough on there that I said the show wasn't horrible start to finish. So there was enough to keep me, you know, tentatively watching, I guess. You know, like this didn't be like, oh, yeah, I got to watch. Oh, they got me again. They just, you know, it's just.
They haven't driven
you
away.
Stop. Yeah, it's not a complete driven away. So do we want to talk about the SmackDown spoilers?
Yeah, throw the SmackDown spoilers out.
On the Tuesday, so we got the new general manager, Booker T. So he's been announced. So that takes him out of the commentary position.
So I'm for it then. Who's going to be in the commentary position?
I'm not. I don't have a.
Well, whoever. I'm glad.
Maybe.
What's that?
do a two-man with Josh and Cole? To me, it would be a simple situation where, I mean, maybe that's where you put in William Regal.
That'd be excellent. I'd love that.
Yeah. Regal, replace excellent. One, on...
replace royalty with royalty. Or with his page.
Exactly.
Wasn't Regal Booker T's page?
He was, him and Finlay.
Yeah. I don't think Finlay was ever officially a page. I thought he was above that.
Maybe, I don't know. But they were, I just, Regal on NXT, he says, it would Big E Langston has his match against the guy Adam Mercer. And they're talking, and he's like, people might not believe me because, well, I tend to lie a lot, but this Adam Mercer, tell the people how big he is, because no one will believe me.
Nice.
So makes the other guy, Byron Saxon, say how big he is.
Nice.
Oh, it's tremendous. But I think, I mean, yeah, that would be the choice for me. But, I mean, Alberto Del Rio comes out and talks about insulting Sheamus. Booker makes Del Rio and Randy Orton a match, even though Del Rio said on Raw that he's not going to wrestle until
they changed their mind.
No, whatever. I mean, it didn't really. Del Rio fought, who did he beat? He beat Santino on Raw, right? In like 30 seconds.
No, it was like 6 minutes. It was like a longer match than they usually have. Because they have 3 hours to fill.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Well, maybe I watched it in 30 seconds.
I think
that's
possible. PBRs.
Yes.
Wrestling fans' best friend in 2012.
That said, as much as I've been not a fan of Del Rio, the change in the look, getting away from the gold, I mean, that's a better look.
I didn't even notice. What do you mean? I didn't even.
He had black instead of
did he?
Gold. Yeah, just a better look, I thought.
Huh. I didn't even notice. Of course, they didn't do his entrance because of the fire they had an hour before the show. So they couldn't,
Right.
So, I mean, that affected a lot of things there.
Well, you know what it really affected is that the crowd wasn't really into any of the comebacks because before the show, all the baby faces made their comebacks. They were a house of fire.
Sometimes you go too far for the joke, Addy.
No.
So anyways, what else happened on SmackDown?
Sheamus beat Tenzar.
Yay!
It's been tough. Torres trying to get a job with Booker T. Booker hired Teddy Long as the senior advisor, and Teddy had to tell his first thing was to say, tell Eve that we have no jobs. Yeah. And I think Eve's reaction was that blows.
Yeah. So, sounds like it does.
Then Antonio Cesaro beat Santino in a non-title match. Again, second straight week. So he mentioned that he wanted to get a title shot now. Okay. So it's leading to a title shot. So to me, Antonio had a gimmick where he talked in five different languages. So to me, this is the international man winning the U.S.
title. Yeah, makes sense.
And that's fine.
Yeah, it's a title that doesn't matter. So why not give it to him?
Exactly, right? So Brian come out with the no shirt, saying the fans are not allowed to chant yes anymore.
Fuck.
I know. The thing with this is that, like, again, if you're doing something and it's not expected to catch on, and it does, they bury it.
Well, what would have happened if they had buried Austin 316?
Well, exactly, yeah. Right? I mean, that's just...
I'm just that the game. Just that damn good, which he only said one time.
He said it the one time, you know? Or Mr. Socko, right? I mean, there's so many different examples in... It's basically from that... I guess, in 96 was Austin 316 that they wrote in, but they didn't really have anything else, like just kind of like now. But it was really that sort of that late 90s when if something... happened or they said something, then they would let it catch on.
And, okay, and you know, we talk about Austin 316, but that's obvious. Let's talk about something not quite as obvious, but Road Dogg says puppies once. It becomes a catchphrase, not for Road Dogg, but for Jerry Lawler, because he laughed and repeated it, but it becomes a catchphrase, and it becomes actually a big thing in the show, and not a negative. They took something, they used it. It's just that simple.
It became a negative
because we did it too much, but it didn't become a negative because it was popular when he was doing it at first.
No, that's right. It was like he talked to Deborah, and he goes, because I'm the road dog, I want to see your puppies. And then he...
it's not as... Like, Austin 316, we say, what if they had buried that? But let's just take off something, like I say, more simple like that. Like that, or, you know, the Ho Train. Or the Ho Train. We talk about, all these little things where they seem to stumble upon something, and they went with it. And, you know, because they're morons now, that did not happen.
Well, exactly. So the fact is the funny thing is that it's hilarious in an absurd way because all these writers are trying to justify their existence. Yes. And then Daniel Bryan goes out and, in fact, makes the writer's job easier.
Yes.
Because he gets something over. And himself... And so the writer has one less thing to do, and that's bad.
You know, I'm not blaming the writers so much on this, but...
No, but it's not the individual writers. It's the creative setup. So the writers are just cogs in the wheel. It's the actual machine and the way that the machine is built that's broken.
Well, that's true. And there's a lot of things going on there.
But that's the reason is because they've got all these writers, and if all these writers don't do it, then they don't. Then that's a bad thing. Whereas in fact, the guy going out and getting himself over has just like fucking saved you having to do it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Right. Go spend energy on fucking Tenzai now. Like, geez.
Yeah, that's true. And they would have preferred if Tenzai was a star over him, but that won't happen. Okay, let's. What else happened there on SmackDown?
Daniel Bryan, Miz, and Ziggler beat Jericho, Christian, and Kane.
Who gives a fuck?
So, I'm guessing that this is going to go Miz and Christian then at SummerSlam because Bryan and Kane will be paired and Jericho and Ziggler,
maybe.
Right? So, Bryan pinned Jericho. Again, just a six, man. Ryback beat Jinder Mahal by DQ.
Yes, that's correct.
It's feud.
That's good for everybody.
It isn't it, though? Then Darren Young beat R-Truth. AJ or AW at ringside. Nothing, you know, still mic'd up. So, let's see here. Oh, Cody Rhodes versus Sin Cara is announced next week for SmackDown. And Orton then beat Del Rio via DQ when Rodrigo interfered, or Ricardo Rodriguez interfered.
Yeah, so Randy Orton, I want to talk a little about him. He returns.
He did.
He was gone for a steroid violation.
He was.
How did he look to you physically?
Small.
Yeah?
Yeah, it looks small.
I'm not so sure. He was not as big at the end of his run as he was at his largest when he was with like Evolution or something like that anyways, right?
Sure.
Second violation, 2 months gone, right into the main event picture. Right move, wrong move.
Well, you know, again, you talk about right in the main event picture. What's he doing at the SummerSlam?
Yeah, but you know what? We don't know yet, but that could also be a three-way. I would not be at all surprised. The fact is that he got a huge reaction. As soon as he was gone, they had to pull Punk and stuff over to the SmackDown tour. As soon as he's back, they feel they have enough star power in him to pull Punk back over onto the Raw tour. He's essentially seen as he is, and he is. He's the second most popular guy in the company still, behind Cena. It pretty much is still, if you talk about, he's certainly far ahead of Sheamus. If you look at it, it goes Cena, probably Orton, then probably I'd say Rey Mysterio.
See, I go Cena, Punk, Orton, Mysterio.
Punk and Orton are kind of okay. They're kind of on the same level. So you're right. I forgot Punk in there, but yes, nevertheless. I mean, he is ahead of Sheamus. We're talking about a guy with two violations. Shouldn't there be some sort of reprimand?
Well, if you think back and you just, and it won't be hard if you just use your imagination, you probably think of another guy with two strikes that got the world title.
I feel like that was a different thing. I really do. No, I do. I feel like that was a different thing.
Yeah, this guy had a history of it.
Wait, both do. No, but I do think that was a different thing in that he had two strikes, but he had to earn his way back up. And then the popularity, the surge, was just so intense that they couldn't ignore it. But also, they didn't give it to him right away, even in that. Like, he did have to – they didn't do it. Triple H beat him when the time was for him to go over. So we talk about our imagination. The fact is, how did that end up turning out, though? Not well. So why should you repeat the mistake? I think they have to put – here's the thing. I just think they should have had Orton come out and lose clean to Del Rio to build up Del Rio so he's a legitimate contender for the title because it's not going to hurt Orton and because Orton probably should not be pushed for a little while just to let him know, don't fuck up.
Well, I don't care really because, I mean, Del Rio has taken a brogue kick in Los Angeles. And you talk about building him up, like, I mean, Del Rio.
It's a number 3-1 match. It's number 3 match on the card, though. I guess you would say the Kane and Brian, if Sheen is there, maybe that's number 3. So it's the number 4 match on the card.
Yeah. And if Ryback has a match, maybe the number 5. But, you know, that's not selling a buy, right? Sheamus and Del Rio.
Well, not after seeing it 75,000 times since.
What I mean, so RKO or DQ or arm lock or whatever, arm ringer.
It's partially about Del Rio, but it's also partially about, like I say, it's about Orton. About making.
Yeah, but Orton, when you talk about repeating the mistake, I mean, so Orton wins the title and gets his third strike, right? And they fire him. And
I don't think they ever will.
They get. Well, I know, I'm just saying, but if that were to happen, they're going to fire him, and then that's actually a good thing because the machine is going to continue to go, and they're going to point to the fact that, look, Randy Orton was one of our top stars, and he was the world champion, and he failed 3 times, and we fired him. Congress, you know, like, that's the deal, yeah. Right? So there is no the spin can be done in many ways. And the fact is if Randy Orton is going to fuck up, Randy Orton is going to fuck up. And that ain't Vince or Linda or Hunter or Stephanie or Shane or Marissa or anybody's problem other than his own. Or it's not any of their faults other than his own. So he's gonna fuck up. He's going to fuck up.
Okay. So it's okay to push guys who fuck up.
Okay. Sure. It's wrestling.
All right. I'm just saying. Just opening up the debate. That's all. Not saying you're wrong. I'm just opening up the debate.
Yeah, no, like, ultimately, morally perfect worldly, is it right? No, but it's going to happen, and there's nothing you or I can do about it, so I'm really not going to get upset about
That's
it.
That's cool. That's cool. All right, now let's...
If Randy Orton come in, and if he had come back in that match against Del Rio, and he was... you know, drunk or stoned, then, again, they're not going to let him. Like, I'm comparing that to the Jeff Hardy situation, a year or so ago, a year and a half ago in TNA. That's a different situation because that guy's on something right then, you know, and that's dangerous.
And that's probably happened to Orton in the past when he hasn't been suspended or fired, too.
It very well could be.
He's had problems, right?
Again, but I don't know, so I can't.
I know what you're saying. So. Okay. All right, no, let's just open it up. Like I said, just opening up the debate. So, okay, what the hell else? Nothing else on SmackDown. Let's just hit some news items and then go over to TNA.
Yes.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Johnny Ass.
Who?
Johnny Ass. Yeah. He no longer the executive vice president of talent relations.
No, which he hasn't actually been for a while.
Right.
He's just because he was just in charge of talent relations without having that title for a while still. Yeah.
That's right, because Paul Levesque is the executive vice president of Talent Relations. That it's weird because I remember everybody at the time when it was on the corporate website just assumed it was a work, right? Everybody thought everybody yeah. No, nobody thought that.
Everybody did.
No, I don't think I can't think. Who would be that stupid?
Well, everybody. Yeah.
Really? Oh, well. Well, just because you weigh as much as everybody. No, he's now going to be an agent.
Producer.
Ultimately, that's what's best. That's his role, right?
He complained about burnout doing his job, plus also being on the road a lot for house shows. Yeah. He's still booked on house shows. He's booked through to September. He's had a lot of power, though, taken away from him for quite a while now. He wants to stay with the company because he has a lot of investments in the company and a lot of stock options and that type of thing. So, I mean, it makes sense. But, I mean, this is a guy who came in, was an agent in WCW, came over to WWE, was JR's right hand, kind of stabbed JR in the back along with Vince McMahon, ousted him, did his job shitty for several years, and now has finally been let go because the man who currently has more power, Jean-Paul Levesque, Triple H, has never been a fan of what he's done.
No, exactly. He's never been a fan. And, I mean, this is a couple things. Johnny Ace was renowned and applauded for his finishes as an agent in WCW. So this is something that on paper seems like a positive. I mean, time will tell. I mean, there also in 1992 were a lot of people talking about how great Bill Watts was going to be for WCW.
And then he got beat, so you couldn't jump off the top rope.
Top rope, and he took the mats away, and just did some rather foolish things. So, I mean, who knows? Time will tell. You're right. I mean, Hunter, not a fan of his. I mean, I could see, and it is. I mean, the executive vice president of talent relations is a thankless job.
Especially when you do a shitty job.
Well, it is, but I mean, you think of, I mean, like, you know, JR was you know, had his detractors and
he never even hired the long one-legged wrestler.
No, he hired the wrong Muppet, but other than that, and J.J. Dillon, you know, was you know, had thankless talks about that book too. So it's common thing. So, and again, being on the road, I could definitely see there being some burnout there. And so, if he's going to go on the road as an agent anyway, and he's going to do those run-ins or whatever.
He's not booking the shows anymore. He's just a finish guy, which is fine.
Yeah.
As guy, he was he brings a more Japanese mentality to the finishes. Because that's where he worked most of his career. So, okay, that's fine. Okay, what else we got?
Well, I was looking at, I was just thinking too, going back to Raw, there was, I think Big Show might have mentioned it once, that Cena wasn't successful to cash in Money in the Bank.
I think he mentioned it maybe in passing.
But again, no, not a part of the story.
No.
There really at all. So I just found
that's true.
That kind of interesting.
That's a good point.
That was there, but, let me see what else. I'm just trying to think of what else. What else happened in the
world of sports entertainment
in the last week?
Yeah, well, the financials came out.
They did.
WrestleMania's back up again.
Right.
Extreme Rules was not as successful as they thought, but they're still a success. Essentially, pay-per-views are up because of these two things. Most other revenue streams are down. Live house show attendance is down. DVD sales is down. House show attendance down about 5%. DVD sales down significantly. But that's part of, I mean, that's just to have, that's
like the
magazine.
It's like the magazine, you know, of course the magazine's down. Well, really?
Exactly.
Print is down. You know, they talk about, well, I mean, jump into, house show was about 5,600 on average. Now it's 5,400. Yeah. So, you know,
about
a little drop there. But Oh, sure, but I mean, it's a couple hundred people. That's basically flat. I think Vince talked a couple things. He's saying that in terms of the reason that pay-per-view revenue would be up is because he's indicating that more people are shelling out the extra $10 to get it
in
HD.
He also said that WrestleMania was up and Extreme Rules was up, not because of Lesnar and The Rock, but because of better creative.
Right. That's true. That's true. And then why wouldn't it
Fuck
be?
You, Vince McMahon.
Yes. The other thing is, again, talking about how they put in $5 million into Tout.
Yeah, but they wouldn't say how much of the company that gives them. Don't they
well,
have to say that?
But, well, no, because it's not, again, that's a Tout thing, right? That's not a WWE thing. So it's a matter of, essentially, what they were saying, though, is that George Barrios, the financial officer, chief financial officer, what he had said is that he had mentioned some things in terms of Tout that they were using the cost method to evaluate. And generally speaking, when you use the cost method, it's for people that own like a quarter or less of the company. So they owe like 20-25%.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Or less. But I would think for a startup thing like this that would they probably own about, you know, a fifth would be 25%.
Seems like $5 million
then,
for
so
something
that's
just starting like this should be plenty, but who knows.
$25 million probably I would say isn't so they probably own about 20% of it.
And by the way, they were all over Raw. And apparently, from what I can tell, WWE fans are losers.
Really? All of them?
Except the ones that listen to us.
Yes. But most of the people that listen to us at this point probably aren't WWE fans.
Shit.
But no, I mean, I did see like some of that, some of the Touts. I mean, I just, again, that's a part. Watching it on the PVR. I mean, the other thing to look at is that in Canada here, we're not starting an hour early, so it's 7 o'clock still for us to get the show. So the show's going 7 until like 10:15 or whatever the hell it is. So you know, so I ain't watching that live.
No, that helps.
Because, God, I would kill myself if I had to sit there. So
long. 3 hours is so long, dude.
I'm generally figuring on doing it, and I started it, this obviously the first real 3 hour Raw, is started watching the opening segment. Once that was done, I just go take my dog for a walk, and that takes about an hour. And I come back, and then I can usually kind of catch up to the point where I'm live again.
I do the exact same thing. So far. I start watching about 7, I watch the opening segment, I fuck your mom, and that takes about a minute.
I was going to say, so 30 seconds later.
So anyways,
just to get
what else is happening out there in the world of... So that's the financials. Basically, profits are down a little bit. I think it was $11.8 million to $14.1 or something like that. But whatever, they're a profitable company in this day and age. That's really all you can say about it. Anything else is overanalyzed.
Well, it is. Now, I'm just trying to think of there was another fellow that Triple H hired a guy, a fellow that got the developmental.
Yeah, apparently a very highly organized individual. I can't remember his name. Kazara or something like that.
Well, you want to know what his name is? Who better than Canyon is his first name? You want to know what his last name is? Seaman.
Kenya Seaman?
Canyon.
Oh, Kenya Seaman. Kenya Seaman.
Canyon.
Kelly Kelly?
Seaman.
Seaman.
Pretty much. Seaman. So. I guess that does mean that she's going to be employed for quite a while, even with this sabbatical. I was trying to think of if there really isn't anything else in terms of WWE news. Jericho
Let's move on to Impact. Impact was supposed to open up with a tag team match. Well, typically they open up with a video recap of what's been going on. This week it went right into the tag team match between Kenny King and Austin Aries versus
Before we start that. So we'll talk about the names that were talked about for Raw 1000 that didn't appear because they got wrote out of the script. Yes. MVP is one of them, which I thought would have been interesting. Because she went into rehab, Sonny wasn't there. Steve Blackman, sadly, got canceled.
Not sadly at all.
That is sadly. I was looking forward to my Steve Blackman Tenzai match.
If I can't have Cheesehead, I don't need it at all.
Head Cheese.
I'm sorry.
Chester McCheaterton was the midget. Tatanka didn't show, unfortunately. And Big Daddy V.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. He couldn't fit on the airplane, was his problem. But, okay, sorry. Let's talk about Gimpact.
Gimpact? You didn't like it?
Well, yeah, it's fine. You were going to talk about it, and I rudely interrupted you, mostly because it was funny, but also to get some news out.
And what compelling news that was. So anyways, Aries and King versus Zema Ion and Bobby Roode opens up. Instead of the video package, it's right into a brawl before the match. Well, it's like these guys hate each other so much, they're attacking each other, trying to get you right into it.
I have some more news. No. When I turned on Impact, the show that's on before it, whatever the show is about, I don't even know what it is, Bounty Hunter or something. It looks like Perry Saturn hosts it, is what the guy looks like. But during the credits, they actually showed Impact. And instead of doing a commercial for Impact's coming up or blah, 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 they cut right to it. And it was back. Stage and Aries and King were backstage, and Bobby Roode walks right by him and going, "What do you think you're doing? You better enjoy that title for 10 more days. You know, we're heading to the ring." And that brawl actually starts
on the show before
the show during the credits of
Show. I like that. I missed that, so that's cool. All right, so, anyways, then you got this brawl. Basically, there was a couple moments where Aries was hitting a few moves and the crowd was into it, but. And I think he's doing great as a champion. I think they'd be I think they need to give it to him. I'm not sure they're going this direction. I don't think they are. I think they need to leave it on him for a long time. I think this is working great. He carries himself like a champion. He's got the confidence and the charisma. I think he's awesome. But I could tell this was not as hot a crowd tonight. Almost immediately from this. But anyways, King pins Ion, I'm guessing, to set up a match at Hardcore Justice.
Which is fine, yeah. I mean, hey, why not? And I think, that's really the crowd was dead.
Yeah, compared to what they've been on Impact the last few weeks, you could tell it. They just weren't going to be as hot tonight.
But it was a 20-25 minute match.
Yeah, it went for quite a long time. Yeah, it was like 20 past when they actually did the video package to recap the week before. So. I would say between 15, it must have been 15, 20 minutes, something like that. So,
and there was nothing wrong with the match. It just,
the crowd wasn't too into it. We got a cameraman came up to Sting asked Sting about Storm and whether or not he deserves the benefit of the doubt. And of course, he said he wants to hear from Storm in the ring and wants to get to the bottom of the Aces and Eights attacks. Sting calls out Storm. Storm comes out, talks about how he doesn't need anybody's help, how he beat the best wrestler who's ever been in the ring, Kurt Angle, 3 out of 4 times, all by himself in this past year. So, of course, Storm comes out. You know, because they're going to have a match later on. Who else?
Well, then he talks about how he talked about being jumped. He said, you know, a few months ago, I was jumped from behind myself by Kurt
Angle.
That's
right, yeah.
You know, so that was kind of the thing. So.
Yeah, so basically, you know, Sting says, everybody says basically they're ready for aces and eights.
It looked like the crowd really bothered Kurt. Like, Kurt seemed thrown off by the fact that it was a dead crowd.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? I think that's a good point. I think he did, too.
Yeah. But anyway, he did.
Yeah, everybody's basically saying tonight they're ready for aces and eights. So.
Yeah, and I'm gonna make, and he says, I'm going to make you tap tonight.
Angle came right up to him and said, I'm going to make you tap tonight. Just come close so you can hear me. I'm going to make you tap tonight. Mm-hmm. I like that. That was a nice little touch. He mentioned that AJ Styles will not be there tonight because he's in Australia. But we will hear from Claire Lynch.
And, well, they're going to have a baby shower.
That's right. Kazarian and Christopher Daniels will throw a baby shower for the lovely Claire Lynch.
That's right.
Looking
that's
forward right. to it.
And then, they did the earlier in the afternoon. Dixie had mentioned the three four ways that are going to be part of the Bound for Glory series that are going to be matches.
They should all be really, really good. On the,
and yeah, the winner gets 20
of each
points
match.
Of each match, exactly. There is a Falls Count Anywhere match with Mr. Anderson, RVD, Pope, and Magnus. Which
they could have called that a street fight, though. Or no holes barred.
They should have had people vote.
On Twitter.
Impactive. Yeah. And then a tables match with Bully Ray, Jeff Hardy, James Storm, and Robbie E.
Obviously setting up Bully Ray or Jeff Hardy is the favorite there.
Well, and Taz went out of his way to mention that that Bully Ray has the advantage there in the tables match. And then the match I'm really looking forward to, a ladder match. AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, how great should that be?
You talk about AJ, Joe, and Daniels. And, I mean, then you throw Kurt Angle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we talk about guys who've had 4.5, 5-star matches, as a, you know, triple threat matches in the past. And then, then you throw in one of the greatest workers ever that should enter in a ladder match. That'll be fucking awesome. Right there, that's a buy for the pay-per-view. That match
is,
alone.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, so, that's awesome. And then, Bully Ray, they won a quick match.
Was that?
Bully Ray then won a quick match against Robbie
Bully
E.
Ray beats Robbie E. Bully Ray essentially works as a baby face. On Explosion, which I watched this week, they had a Bound for Glory match between Christopher Daniels and Bully Ray, where Bully Ray also worked as the baby face. I'm hoping that doesn't mean he's turning baby face anytime soon. He has re-signed with TNA, it looks like, that they've acquiesced to him. And Devon, who turned 40 today, apparently still negotiations continue. So,
okay. Well,
he was on the show. He did have an appearance this week. Did not defend the title, but he had an appearance. You know, somebody else who's going to be out there. Basically, everybody said they're going to be out there in the main event to take on Aces and Eights. And everybody's going to be out ringside. I mean, everybody: Aries, Rude, Devon, Bully Ray.
Yeah, And that said, they didn't shoot well because, like, Sting was there, and then I'm watching the match, and then all of a sudden, Bully Ray, like, was there, and I was like, oh, okay, so there's Bully. And then all of a sudden, I saw Garrett kind of be there, and I didn't really see Devon until the match was almost done. And then Aries is at the ramp, and I don't know that I saw Bobby Roode until the end when he talked.
Yeah.
But they were all apparently there. Earl gave Madison Rain some gifts.
Yes.
And then Gail Kim come up and was like, what the hell was that last week or whatever? What are these? And then Rain told Kim that Earl was a professional and would never screw anybody.
Yes, that was great. That was great.
Yes.
That was pretty funny. And she said, he'd never do that. He would never screw anyone. Yeah.
Yeah, he would never do that. Yeah.
But, that was excellent. So, you know, and then basically they had a really good four-way match, actually, four-way women's match. Brooke Tessmacher, mm-hmm. Miss Tessmacher at ringside doing commentary was awful. But the match itself was mm-hmm. good. You're watching Gail Kim, Mickey James, Madison Rain, and Tara in this match, and you're going, fuck the Knockouts. This is the difference between the Knockouts division and the Divas. This is a good wrestling match. Not great, but a good wrestling match.
It was not quite 10 minutes, maybe 8 minutes or so. It was – and Tessmacher was on commentary, but a billion times better than
Brooke.
Fucking –
She wasn't good, but she's a billion times better than Brooke. But basically, the point of this was that looked like Mickey James won, and somebody screwed her.
No, Victoria.
Oh, you're right. It looked like Victoria won. You're right. And somebody screwed her.
Tara won, and Hebner.
It was the week earlier that it was Mickey James that he screwed for Madison. Yeah.
That's right. But this time it was Tara pinned Rain 1-2-3, and Hebner pinned, went for the count 1-2-3, and then just raised Madison Rain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So but it's okay. It's a storyline. I don't mind that. It's a storyline in the Divas division I can't recall seeing recently. You know, so it's good. I'm fine with it. It was a good match. It was a much better match than I'm used to getting from Divas. So
the only thing is that what I would do next week, okay, if this was me booking it, next week, I have your little Divas backstage segment with Brooke, okay, and if Brooke is even there, she might be afraid for her life.
Yeah, but we'll get next. There.
If I was doing it, I would have them go and Mickey James would be going up to Brooke and saying, look, Earl screwed me last week. He screwed up this four or 2 weeks ago. He screwed up the four way. Okay. You know, he can't be allowed to referee Tessmacher's match at the pay-per-view. You need to make me the special referee.
And then turn her heel?
And then that's where Mickey turned.
His idea was that she was going to turn on Velvet Sky, of course, left the company. But, I'm good with that. It sounds good to me.
So that's still a heel turn. It makes sense because my whole thought there was, and I just thought of that just now, because my whole thing was, like, if Earl is reffing the match at the pay-per-view, like, that's too big of a logic stretch.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So, anyway, speaking of Brooke Hogan, she talks to Sting, who basically asks Brooke, you know, how is your dad? And she's like, your dad, but he won't tell anybody. But I know, and I've been taking care of him. I know he's in really, really rough shape. Sting says, you need to be, are you able or mentally? Are you going to be there to look after the Knockouts? Brooke says she is. Then she gets a letter with the Aces and Eights hand, and she was awful in this segment. Sting was good, but she was terrible.
Yeah.
So, that's basically that. Then we got a great segment with ODB and Eric Young.
We did.
He still didn't bring up the chicken. Eric Young talked about being the knocked-up champions. ODB's like, you know, Brooke's asking me about these belts because we haven't defended them in like 2 months, and you're a man. And he's like, well, you know what? Yeah. I'll just be in like a different part of the country with the belt than you, basically, is what he's saying. He's like, I'll be off here with the belt, and you'll be over here with this other belt, and we'll both be apart from each other with the belts, and they can't take it from us. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
He plugged
his show on the Animal Network or something like that. Yeah. Because it's a fishing show or whatever. It looks like a fishing man. So, anyways, he was funny here. And that ODB was good here, too. And then Kid Cash came out to face Chavo, and I really like this. What'd you think?
This is one of those with the crowd being dead.
I thought the crowd was more into this than certainly the opening match. I thought the crowd gave Chavo a good reaction. And I thought the two of them worked really well together. I think Chavo's, you know, Chavo's looking and acting like a star.
No. Well, that's true. That's true. Because Chavo is acting like Eddie, who was a star. And that's my problem with it, is that, I mean, Eddie Guerrero, one of the best of all time, unfortunately is dead. And Chavo Guerrero is not Eddie Guerrero. So the Three Amigos, I'll give you an example here, because I watched NXT today, too. Raquel Diaz, Eddie's daughter, Shawl, is Eddie. She's got a great, her act isn't polished yet, but she's got Eddie's personality. Chavo does not have Eddie's personality. Chavo is Chavo's personality. And he just doing the Three Amigos and the frog splash, and it's like I talked about last week when we talked about, you know, me, him going Odalami Rasa, and you're like, well, if he just did it once, well, here we are week two, and we're 2 for 2 with the
Eddie. I don't mind at all. They had Eddie's mother and his great aunt there, the matriarch, as they called it, of the Guerrero family. They tied in his lineage with Hector and everybody else.
It's filler.
They gave him a really good entrance. I thought the crowd liked it. They worked really well together. He's showing a lot of charisma. He was crisp in the ring. I don't mind him paying homage to his uncle. I think this was really, really good stuff. I liked it quite a bit.
He can beat D-Von and be the fucking
champion. What I do with him is I have him be the win the X title in about 4 or 5 months, and then I have him hold the title until he catches it in. At next year's Destination X.
Oh, fuck. No way. Well, that's... It's fucking Chavo Guerrero,
yeah,
man. The guy's not that good.
I disagree. I'm seeing something here. I like what I'm seeing from Chavo.
I don't hate it, but Chavo fighting Kid Cash and Gunner and teaming with Hector or with Hernandez. Yeah, that's about where he needs to be.
I disagree. I think they're presenting him like a star, and I think he's going to eventually be seen as one. And I think he has the work and the charisma to do it still.
I don't. I think he's just mid-card for life.
All right, well, let me see. Kurt Angle's backstage talking to somebody who was the most annoying, grating personality I've seen in a long, long time, Wes fucking Briscoe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The first thing I thought of that, the first thing I thought here was
Dixie Carter said they had a little bit with her, and she says that she tells AJ to step up and do the right thing. Too,
yes, so. It's long since past time that AJ explains himself. Yeah.
So Kurt Angle talks to an asshole.
Yes, but the best part was, all I could think of was that asshole's father auctioning off his Hall of Fame plaque, 2 weeks ago. And then Kurt goes, say hi to your dad.
Actually, D-Von said that to him.
No, so did Kurt, though. He goes, your father. Say hi to your father. And so did
Garrett. D-Von, yeah, it was D-Von, yeah. But whatever. Man, this kid was just unlikable. And not in a you want to pay to see him. He just had a personality that, like, seemed really phony, and he's just not fun. Like, he just somebody. I was just like, I can't stand this guy. Go away. Go away.
No,
go away.
That's awesome.
In a 30-second segment.
A go away heat. No way. This guy, he's going to
totally see why he was in developmental for WWE for a long time, and had that lineage, and they never thought to bring him up.
But here's the thing is, he's the mole.
Well, I know that.
Like and that's the thing, right? So for him to kind of be in that kind of, to me, he was just really nervous and twitchy. And I mean, he may not be any good in terms of promos, but I took this as, I'm just going to wait and see with that. Cause I took that as part of the deal.
He turns me off regardless. I do not like him.
If he could just be all he needs to do is refine his thing. You know what I need to see is I need to see him in the ring, and as long he can get pushed to the top, as long as he does 3 suplexes in a row and a frog splash.
Yeah, fuck off.
Then main event.
There you go.
Main event.
There you go.
You know, win the X title because he's like that, and then he can catch
there you
it.
Go. I'm good with that, too. Anyways, I didn't like this. But, yeah, I mean, essentially because we pretty much know this guy's now asking for a contract in TNA, and we pretty much know that he's going to be one of the aces and eights and has been part of these attacks. So the fact that he's there talking to Angle and that he was ringside in there in watching the match later on between Angle and Storm, it kind of plays into some things. So I like that. I just don't like him. So now we had Kaz and Daniels in the ring for
I will say he did not do – listen, I didn't think he did a good job. But in terms of his – like when he was first on the screen and I'm going like – who the fuck is that? And then just the way they, the way it introduced it wasn't good. I did like just sort of his facial expressions, the way he was laid, because of course D-Von and Garrett come in to talk about aces and eights and just kind of how Briscoe was kind of acting when they were talking about it. That part I liked, but I mean the initial conversation was just horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and now we had Kaz and Daniels doing the baby shower with Claire Lynch. Who could not stop laughing at them, even though she wasn't supposed to, because they were hilarious. Particularly my favorite was when Kazarian brought out the little baby with the hoodie on, doing the AJ, you know, pose and everything like that. That was pretty fucking funny. Yes. This made me laugh. So this was good because they were good. And at the end, Claire Lynch cuts this terrible promo again, telling him to step up. The thing about this terrible overacted promo is it worked. Because it drew a lot of heat.
Well, and I enjoyed Kazarian saying, you know, AJ is in Australia, probably impregnating someone.
Exactly. It's pretty good. This segment was fun.
The piece de resistance, that's the prize piece. Stay in school. You know, things like that. It was just
now great. We had something even better than this, and this was the greatest thing ever.
Oh, yes.
But then we had something even better. And Joseph Park is on the phone, and a camera asks why he's there, and he says he's there to represent his law firm, Park, and he's been talking. He's signed up a few TNA wrestlers who've been teaching him some of the terms, and then he goes up to Sting and says,
"I don't want to break kayfabe."
Yes, I don't want to break kayfabe, but, and then Sting's like, really? So how you don't want to bring kayfabe? Okay, well, we'll just talk about things and not break kayfabe. He brings Sting brings it up like three more times. Every time he does, it's funny.
Yeah, I know.
And this is again another example of instead of the really obvious WWE Vicky Guerrero dancing in the ring that's not funny, but everybody's supposed to and their announcers laugh. This is something that's legitimately funny without needing to shove it down my throat.
Well, yes, and Joseph Park is. It made me laugh just in the way that he's like, do you need legal representation?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, no, I'm
general
good.
Manager
I'm good.
Of a multi, you're general manager of a multi-million dollar company. It opens you up to a lot of liable action. You know, just the way he says
like,
it.
No, it's okay.
Funny.
Just, are you going to kayfabe me or not? You know, and it was fucking great. And then Park takes a picture on his phone of him with Sting together and goes, I'm going to tweet this. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, it was tremendous. And then I think I'm pretty sure.
So next week we get AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle in the BFG series and Pope versus RVD. So a couple matches announced that could be pretty good.
And Bully Ray,
and Bully
James
Ray
Storm.
Versus James Storm. There you go.
Yeah, so. And then we get the main event of James Storm and Kurt Angle. It was a match.
Storm won clean with the super kick.
Yeah, with the super kick.
Basically, this was, and here's the thing about this. There's a lot of interest in Aces and Eights. We're seeing it from the traffic on our site, and the search is looking for it, finding us through that. And they're seeing it in their ratings. They can't stretch it out too long. They got to be able to read the right time to push it forward and to pull the trigger on it. You don't want to fuck this up. That said, this angle was basically everybody stands out there, and after they don't come out, Rude goes, that's because you don't need him, Storm. You beat him without him, so they didn't need to come out. And basically, it's pushing the idea of paranoia. Nobody can trust each other. Everybody like Aces and Eights is tearing the locker room apart just by what they've been doing, and now everybody's fighting each other within TNA.
They were more powerful in not showing. Yeah. I mean, they had that.
It was
they
an gave interesting the cards choice. To I liked it.
I thought that was great. I think again, you're stretching it out again for another week. You've got a pay-per-view coming up again with all hardcore matches that they can get involved in if need be. You've got, and then again, to me, I'm not even against a slow reveal where maybe after the pay-per-view, or you know, you start to one by one members are unveiled or unmasked. Yeah. Right? So you pull off Luke Gallows, you pull off this, and you pull off that, and then you get to Wes Briscoe towards the end, and then
after he's unveiled the contract Bound for now Glory. And befriended Angle. Yeah.
That's right. And Bound for Glory is when the leader is unveiled exactly. then. Right? So you don't have to wait till Bound for Glory to unveil all of them. I mean, we knew who Hall and exactly. Nash were, right? We didn't know who Hogan exactly. was. So you can do that.
Really a good show. Not their best show over the last couple of months, but another good show. A lot of right stuff. It's booking-wise, a lot of really right stuff, smart decisions, some good laughs, entertaining, some good matches, a good impact, and I really can't wait for Hardcore Justice.
Yes, I will have to say, though, the finish or the end is the showing off the air was shit. The announcers dropped the ball.
By not saying what was happening?
Because they totally glossed over. I mean,
well, we figured it out. I think most people figure it out.
I think though, but again, wrestling is used to the. I'm the pay per view sell. Oh, it's Storm and Storm and Bully Ray come on. Oh, and they did say Storm and Bully Ray combatants next week in the Bound for Glory. But then Aries and Rude got into it. And they said nothing. It's like Aries and Rude now going at it. They're going to battle. We're 8 days away.
It did lack that. It did lack that JR. It's not the go home, but it did lack that JR. My God, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, you're still selling pay per view.
It did lack that JR going off the air, making you excited for whatever's happening next. Yeah,
disappointed in that.
That's true.
But I like the angle, the continuation of the Aces and Eights angle. Another win for me.
All right. Anything else then for the week? Are we done? We're going to go OUT.
I think that's going to be it for this particular episode there. I think we were talking about possibly doing sort of a couple shows a week, but we'll get there. I think because we're a little bit sporadic. There's no paper.
I think part of it is, I mean, we're talking about now doing shows on Thursdays after Impact, and we can do one after Raw. I think we're kind of like needing to react to 3 hours of Raw to whether or not that can draw our interest and to whether or not that's too long, goes too late.
Well, and again, I think with some of it, I mean, definitely after Impacts, but that people can look for further shows. But and again, after pay-per-views as well. And so it just, again, no pay-per-view this Sunday. And really, so there was no real reason to wait outside of, I mean, we read the SmackDown spoilers, nothing, must-see really there for us not to comment on. So, other than that.
I'm Mo, M-O at WeTalkPodcast.com, Mo_WeTalk, and I Fuck Daddy's Mom.
Really? Oh. So you have herpes, too.
It itches.
Wow.
Burns sometimes.
It does. You know, we're on Skype, but I can tell.
You can still hear me scratch them. His balls are huge.
Is that what those are? Jesus. Sun-dried tomatoes. Anyway, WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. We Talk Wrestling is Twitter. Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com would be my personal email. So, WeTalkWrestling.com, lots of great stuff up there. We'll have something over the next, may go up tomorrow, may go up on over the weekend here since we're not doing a show. But my latest blog on why I like TNA better than WWE. So people,
because it doesn't suck ass?
Well, that's, don't ruin it. That's the whole vlog. It's like eight words.
Just repeats it over and over and over.
Yes. All what is it? All AJ and no Punk make Adam a dull boy.
I don't fucking have any idea what you said. We done? We done?
Hmm? We could. All right, let's be done. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Boobies!